All right, let's get into our word. And I know Brother Tony and Sister Linda is going to listen extremely. It's going to be good. Going to be good. Oh my gosh, Brandon, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. You know, you're going to lose. You've already lost the game. I'm telling you. It's like he did Amber. He was talking to us Wednesday night. You know, I got you. Y'all, you can tell him that. So. All right. Praise God. So good to see everybody. Smiling faces today. And God has done something in this house today, Brandon. God has, if you have allowed him to do something in your spirit, man, I promise you, he has worked there and he's worked in our physical beings too. Amen, amen. All right, let me get into our word today. This is from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with the 10th verse. And what time is it? My clock stopped. A quarter till 12. All right, I'm not going to look at my watch, okay, because this is wrong. No, I'll look at it. It says 11:25, so I've got 35 minutes. So, wait a minute. All right. Beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm telling you, everything in that verse 12 is absolutely right. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, Paul writes, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And I'm going to stop there. That's my title today, the breastplate of righteousness. And we've been looking, the last two Sundays, the Lord changed it, but we've been looking at the armor of God, and we're back on that this morning. So I want us to look again at what it takes to win against the spiritual powers that fight against us. We've talked about the helmet of salvation. We've talked about the belt of truth. And we've talked about the fact that in spite of how unique God made each of us with different perspectives on reality, there are absolute truths that are always true. Some things are just the laws. They're never to change. Amen? The law of sowing and reaping and the seasons. We know there's a season for everything. Truth will help us if we receive God's word and know it. Another one comes to mind. We reap what we sow, don't we? We reap what we sow. But truth is more than information. Real truth brings transformation. You might want to write that down. Real truth brings transformation, which in turn enables us to live it out. Truth must be manifested in our lives, and it's God's plan that we not keep the truth to ourselves. We're to tell others the truth about God, and tell others about his love towards them. Every one of us have a story to tell of God's healing and delivering and saving power. And guess what? Others need to hear it. Whether you're at the workplace or somewhere in a supermarket or out on the parking lot, I'm telling you, if you've asked the Lord to lead you to somebody that morning when you stepped out of your house, I promise you, he will lead you to that person and he will give you the exact things to say. Amen. It might just be being nice to that person. But I'm telling you, you open the door. You go, the Lord has already gone before you. Amen. So the best guard then against deception is the truth. We are to know the truth. We are to live the truth and tell the truth. This morning, I'd like to look at another piece of armor in Paul's list of things that we cannot do without, and that is the breastplate of righteousness. The word righteousness is defined as the quality or the state of being morally right. It's being in sync with what is right. That's a good definition. Being in sync with what is right. As a literal piece of armor, the breastplate is quite easy to imagine. It was made up of small metal plates which were tied together in a similar fashion to the way roof tiles are placed on a roof. The armor was then placed over the shoulders to protect the front and the back of the soldier. The bottom of the armor was then tied to the belt. A Greek word sometimes used to describe the piece of equipment literally translates heart protector. Heart protector. And that was the main purpose of the breastplate, and it was to give protection to that fleshly heart and even other vital organs. Now, that is a description of the army in a literal sense. And when Paul wrote this, again, as I've mentioned, he was chained to a soldier. And as he looked at that soldier, he might have been 10 foot away on a chain or something. But Paul was chained to him sitting there. And as he wrote, or had Luke or somebody writing for him, he looked at that armor. He looked at the helmet, and he looked at. So that's where he got got this word picture from. But now this is not a literal army or armor that we're interested in today. It's the spiritual armor. And understand with me that in the midst of a very real spiritual struggle, you will need protection for your heart. Are you hearing me this morning? If your heart is not right, then guess what? The rest of your life will not be right either. Let me say that again. If your heart is not right, then guess what? The rest of your life will not be right either. You can't say that you love God and hate your brother. Amen? You can't love God and talk about your brother. If so, you're going to always be in a mess. Look at someone, tell them you're going to always be in a mess. And if there are areas that we refuse to surrender to the Lord, then there will be holes in our armor which make us vulnerable to the enemy. If there are areas that we refuse to surrender to the Lord, there may be a room in your heart that you've closed the door and you've decided you're never going to open it. I'm telling you, God cannot fully do what He wants to do in your life until that room has been opened and you've allowed Him to shine His light in there and do a work in it. Amen? If there are areas that we refuse to surrender to the Lord, then there will be holes in our armor which makes us vulnerable to the enemy. Understand that if the devil can get control of our heart, he can control our emotions, and Brandon, he can control our devotions. Amen. In the spiritual battles, then, that we face, we need to be sure that our hearts are directed, then, by God and not surrendered to Satan. The breastplate of righteousness is what keeps your heart right. Amen. So how then does it do such a thing? Number one, first of all, it indicates a right standing with God. God sees me and you with no sin. God sees me as righteous. When I repented and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and live and become my Lord and my Savior. I have been then declared not guilty before the court of heaven. Not because I've committed no offense, but because Jesus took my sin on himself and he declared me clean, righteous, and holy. That ought to be something to shout about. Can you say amen? It is so important then that we understand the nature of this righteousness. It is not formula based, but it is relation based. It's relationship based. We're not declared righteous because we have discovered the secret password or we've become privy to secret information. No, not at all. We are declared righteous by the Lord when we begin a relationship with Him that includes trusting Him in everything about our lives and put our total confidence in Him. That relationship then brings us to a place where we recognize that Jesus not only can forgive sins, but desires to and does so based on his own sinless life, which became a substitution for our lives when he died on a Roman cross. We have a clean conscience because of the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness provides protection for our heart and other vital organs. And so when the devil assaults us with lies about who we are and reminds us of how imperfect we are, the breastplate of righteousness gives us, Sister North, confidence to stand against his accusations. Watch this now. One of Satan's tactics then is to destroy your confidence so you won't come close to God. He don't want you talking to the Lord. He wants you to dwell on what's going on in your body and what the doctors have said and what's going on around you with your children. He wants you taken away from that. So the enemy says, well, you don't deserve to be forgiven. Just look at you. You have failed so many times. You have failed so badly. God could not love you. In fact, he's just ashamed of you. Everybody say lies.
Lies.
Well, guess what? We certainly don't deserve forgiveness. But grace is not based on what we deserve.
Amen.
It's based on who God is and what Jesus has done to change our nature and our standing with him. Satan is called the accuser, and the Bible says that he accuses God's people before him day and night. But the cool thing about it is that the Bible also says that God's people win against the devil. And here is how they do it. Revelations 12 and 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Everybody's got a testimony. Amen. So Jesus, as the Lamb of God, shed his blood, took our sins upon himself, and died then to make us righteous so we could be declared righteous. It's not our own righteousness. How many know that? It's not our own righteousness. It's his righteousness upon us. Romans 5 and 9 says, since we have now been justified, since we now have been made right or just by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So we see right standing with God gives us confidence that we can come to God, Brandon, and have a close relationship with him. He wants us to tell him everything about our lives. He already knows. He's already in our tomorrows. But he wants to hear it from us. And he's given us choices. We can make choices. So not only does the breastplate of righteousness declare right standing before God for us, the next thing it does is that it produces, watch this now, it produces what we could call a right leaning. A right leaning. This may sound a little strange, but the Bible uses a word that really brings this out. It is the word inclined or inclination. When someone inclines their heart to follow the Lord, it indicates a bending of their will in that direction. Joshua 24:23 says it this way, "Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." We're talking about a change on the inside that is followed by change on the outside, meaning our character, our words, and our actions. I had a strange dream last night. Got to tell you about it. We pretty well watch who we bring here and who speaks here at this church. But in this dream, I had somebody come. And this group was here, and this person began to sing. They walked across the front, and it was a song that they had written. And that was made known. But as they began to sing in this dream, the sound went dead. No one could hear the song at all. And again, remember, it was a song that they had written. So they ended up having to change songs. The next song was all about God, all about the Lord. And I'm telling this sound, there was not a bit of problem with the sound at all as they lifted up the Lord. The speaker got up, and they just brought with them cards, beautiful, printed out index size cards, and it had a color on it, but it had words on it. And as the speaker walked down that aisle, they were passing these cards out. And every card, it always was saying something about holiness. About holiness. You see, they hoped to change us on the outside. Our appearance. But understand, that does not change our heart. Did you hear what I said? So, everything got quiet as they passed those cards out. And after the service, they were to have stayed a couple of more nights. But after the service, that person said, "We can't stay. We've got to go. Other things have come up." So they all loaded up in their bus, and you could see the black smoke behind it as they left. So, and that was all my dream. That was all it was. So you've got to understand, if I decided to wear long sleeves all the time, guess what? That doesn't change my heart at all. There may still be greed in my heart. There still may still be animosity. That's a big word, towards somebody. There might be something in your heart against somebody, some lust or desire. But me wearing long sleeves is not going to change that. Amen? And I think our group is a pretty good group here. We've gotten past a lot of things. We do have things that we like to, if you're up here, we want you presentable to the congregation. So it's important in what you wear up here. But you don't hear us hounding on those things. Why? Because long dresses, I'm sorry, it's okay. Long dresses or long sleeves, all of that's not going to change your heart. And you know what's so sad, and I've mentioned this before, it seems all of those in years past, all of those legalistic things, it was mostly on the ladies. Isn't that sad? That's sad. We're talking about a change on the inside that is followed by change on the outside. Our character, our words, and our actions. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Woo! I didn't understand that dream at first, but now I do. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want Him to work on my heart. Amen?
Amen.
And I promise you, if He works on my heart, He'll show me what I need to change on the outside. Amen?
Right.
All right. I'm still not going to wear short pants. I don't want y'all to see my... I don't want y'all to see my purty legs. My legs. Brandon and Tony and Garen and Brother North, they can all wear their knee-high pants. Okay. All right. All right. It's okay. It's okay. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. No problem in that. Amen. Amen. All right. Moving right along. 1 Kings 8:58, we see where Solomon prayed that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances which he commanded our fathers. So the word incline paints a picture in our mind of someone leaning in the direction of their goal or in the direction of their destination. And we could think of a runner in a race who leans toward the finish line. So when our hearts are inclined to the Lord, guess what? We lean our entire lives toward Him. Amen? We set our hearts in His direction. So understand with me that soldiers cannot fight if they are reclining. If they are reclining. So God's work of righteousness changes us on the inside so that our hearts will be directed towards Him.
Amen.
And guess what? This changes everything.
Yes. Yes.
It changes everything about us that needs to be changed. God's righteousness changes our desires and our affections. God's righteousness changes our priorities. And Brandon, it changes our devotions. Ultimately, God's righteousness changes our character so that our every inclination then is to be more like Him. When we're touched then by God's righteousness, not only are we declared right before Him with the righteousness of Jesus, but we are given then a new moral compass and a desire to seek more of His righteousness in how we think and how we order our lives. So let me just ask you, which way are you leaning today? Which way are you leaning today? Do you shrink back away from God out of shame or fear? You shouldn't, because God sees you as righteous if your faith is in Him, if you're a child of the Most High God. Are you leaning then into your relationship with the Lord or taking it kind of easy? Jesus said to seek His kingdom first and His righteousness and the things that you need and labor so hard for, those things will be added to your life on top of living a life filled with God's blessings and favor. And I'm telling you here right now, when you get up in the morning, you expect God's blessings to hunt you down. You don't have to go hunting for them. They're going to hunt you down. And that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Why would we not want to seek Him first? Understand, this old world has nothing to offer that will last. Instant gratifications, worldly fame, promises of quick wealth, all may be for a short while, but all of these will fade, we all know, in time. The last thing I'd like to share about the breastplate of righteousness is what it looks like in our daily lives. It results in right living. It is only natural, listen, when we are in right relationship with God and having a right standing and a heart that leans toward Him, that it would lead to right living. One thing about being justified is that it takes the pressure off, Sister North. It takes the pressure off. When we realize that we can't be good enough, when we realize that we can't do enough good things to deserve forgiveness or deserve grace, I want to tell you that's a freeing thing to us. That doesn't mean that we don't try to do what is right and serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Because if you're really in Christ, then you are under His leadership. Are you hearing me today? Our decisions and the way that we treat others and find guidance and strength for Him through the Holy Spirit who lives within us. He will guide our directions. He will strengthen us. Let me clarify that we are not talking about perfectionism here. Amen. There's not one perfect person in here, is there? We're a body of imperfect people. God is perfect. But I'm telling you, He knows just how to work on each of us. Amen. There are times when we will fail. There are times when we will let God down, letting others down and letting ourselves down. But we don't plan to do those things. We don't plan on our failures. I don't get up in the morning, well, I'm just going to fail today. Listen, because they will show up without our help. As long as we're living in this flesh, you don't have to hunt your failures down. They're going to come to you, okay? Your failures are going to come knocking. Are you going to open the door? Look at somebody and say, don't open that door. But guess what? We don't excuse them either because they do not honor God and they're not helpful to you or anybody else, talking about our failures. In fact, the more we fail to walk in obedience and have victory over sin, the more vulnerable we will be to Satan's attacks. One result then will be a loss of spiritual authority. And if we're not talking to the Lord on a daily basis, if we're not communicating with our Heavenly Father, if we're not praying, and if we're living a lifestyle of sin that does not honor God, then the level of our spiritual authority will be very low. So it doesn't pay to live a sloppy life when it comes to making right choices and doing what pleases the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So how should we deal then with our failures when they do come? Because we are going to mess up. We are going to make mistakes as long as we're here in this old flesh. 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. And guess what? He will purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim that we have not sinned, oh, I don't sin, I'm not a sinner, we make Him out to be a liar and His word has no place in our lives. Now, I don't wear the cap sinner anymore. I've been saved by grace. I was an old sinner. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to mess up, because I will. I'll talk about Brother Tony and I'll talk about Sister Linda. But and the Lord will get me. He will, you know. I only talk good about them, okay? If we claim we've not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. We're not to ignore our sins. Guess what? We're not to ignore our sins. We're not to ignore our failures. But guess what? We're to deal with them. We're to deal with it. Yeah. Don't let the devil beat you over the head.
That's right.
Oh, have I wanted to say things to somebody sometimes. And oh my goodness, I bit my tongue. But it was in my heart to say it. And that, guess what? That's just as bad. Ooh-wee. I said, Lord, forgive me. You just bless them. You just get them, Lord. Guess what? He'll get them. We confess them and we ask the Lord to show us what it's going to take to keep us from repeating the same old thing. I mean, no, we do that. We do that. Sometimes we just don't get it right. We keep on doing the same, mess up the same way. Same way, same thing. Remember that we are righteous in God's eyes. And so we can ask for His help to live out our lives, Brandon. Listen now, you're not the same person you were before you met Jesus. An inner heart, an inner change has begun in your heart and in your character. Your thought patterns, listen, as a child of God, your thought patterns are being restrained or retrained by the Holy Spirit as they are being cleaned up through receiving more and more of God's Word, Brother Tony, into your heart and mind on a daily basis. I love those scriptures, Brother Tony, post. I read them, I'm telling you. More of God's Word into your heart and mind on a daily basis. And guess what? Remember, you are not fighting alone. There are those around us who can and will join their faith with me and with you and help us find the victory that we need in that situation. So it ought to encourage you and encourage them that we all move forward together for Christ. So as I close, are you then in right standing with God? Ruth, would you come? Are you in right standing with God? Do you trust God's Word enough to believe that what Jesus did on the cross was enough to cover your sins and clothe you in His goodness and clothe you in His righteousness? How are you leaning today? Are you leaning toward the Lord and His way of doing things? Or are you attempting to be independent? The world wants you independent, but the Lord wants you dependent upon Him.
Yes.
Amen.
Will you incline your heart toward the Lord and His pure grace that has changed you? Finally, are you living it out? Are you living it out? If your co-workers or others who know you were to describe your lifestyle, what would they say about you? Wow. I'm going to say that again. If your co-workers or others who know you were to describe your lifestyle, what would they say? Do you easily speak up? And I know we're to stand up for some things, but guess what? We don't always have to have the last word. Are there chinks in your armor that need to be dealt with today? If God is speaking to you about something in your life, guess what? It's time to deal with it right then. Yeah. And guess what? If you're honest before God, He already knows your heart. But if you're honest with Him, He will, as you confess it to Him, He will begin to work with you right then. Don't wait. Incline your heart to the Lord. Not away from Him. Go towards Him. Not run away. Don't put it off. Reaffirm your faith in the Lord. And then ask Him to help you as you position your life to follow Him. Plan for righteous living. Plan for righteous living. When you get up in the morning, plan for doing things right. That comes from a heart that loves Him and wants to honor Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean that we go around all day worried that we're going to mess up. That's a biggie in our heart, in our lives. And guess what? The devil will taunt you at that. You're about to mess up. You're going to mess up if you do that. You stay in an atmosphere of worship. You dwell on the Lord. You devote your whole being to Him. And when we devote ourselves to Him, Brandon, everything else is going to work out. That's what we're going to talk about Wednesday night. Devoting our lives to the Lord. Hallelujah. Would y'all come? Leaders, would you come? Ministers, hallelujah. The Lord wants to complete today. He wants to complete something in you today. I'm so happy that during this service, the Lord spoke to our hearts. Let's all stand together. Go ahead and let's stand together as we're closing. We're right here. We're right here to pray with you. If there's anything you want us to pray about, maybe it's a son or a daughter, need something happening with your job, a relationship issue, I'm telling you, we will agree with you in prayer. We will pray with you. And you will have clear direction. The Lord will give you direction. And guess what? If it's something that you're not to even fool with, guess what? He'll put it on your heart. You let me handle that. How many know in times past, Sister North, we've tried to fix things. I've tried to fix things. And man, have I messed it up when I should have left it alone. Because the Lord was telling me, leave it alone. I'm going to take care of it. And then there's the other side of the coin. When I didn't deal with things in my own life or even in others. When I put it off, guess what? Putting it off and ignoring it, it's not going to go away. My sweet wife, they say opposites attract each other. How many know she was like a bulldog or bulldozer in a china closet? But she believed in dealing with it right then. When she and I would have differences, let me just say it that way. You got to understand it takes a little while for a man to work it through. So it normally takes me, 24 hours it would take me to kind of work through that. And of course, she, are you going to talk about it? We'd get up the next morning. She says, I want to know, are we going to discuss yesterday? What happened? Lydia, yes, honey, I will. You had to give me time. I just had to sleep on it. I had to think it through. I don't have a quick. The ladies, Brother John, we know they're quick. They know how to. They know. We operate from the other side of the brain that they operate on, y'all. Amen. Amen. But I'm telling you, if our hearts are towards Him, if we're devoted fully to Him, then everything else is going to be in order. Just examine your life. That's what this whole message is about. Make sure there's no little holes in your armor that would make you vulnerable to the enemy to come in. We want everything closed. Everything. Where you can get up in the morning and know, I want to do something for the Lord today. I want to speak to somebody. So I close every door to the enemy. You help me. You guide me, Lord. You protect me. Protect my children, my grandchildren. I plead your blood over our church family. I plead your blood over our city, our state, our nation. That's the way I pray every morning. Hallelujah. We can walk standing up, leaning towards Him, going in His direction, knowing that our lives are in His hand. Father, I thank You right now. I thank You for what You've done in this house today. Oh, You've done a work in this house, Lord. I thank You for testimonies and stories that we're going to hear in the days to come of Your awesome work. I thank You for Sister Linda's grandson that was here last Sunday. I thank You, Lord, for this family that came in today. This young man came here when he was 10 years old. He works out of town, but he wants his family plugged in. So, Lord, if this is the place for them, it seems to be. They live close by. So, Lord, I thank You that You're bringing them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I thank You, Lord, for new people. In Jesus' name, thank You, Lord. Lord, You just continue to speak to our hearts. Work on our hearts. We thank You today. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I love You. Listen, we're right here. If there's anything, let us pray with You.